Grand Rising, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Back here on a Tuesday morning, a little later in the morning, to just discuss expanding consciousness. What does it mean? What are we talking about? And how can you expand consciousness and kind of like maybe the struggles that happen when you're expanding consciousness, because that just could be not so fun when you're growing, right? Everybody says it's the struggle's real and the struggles are what help us to expand and grow. I always think of like the plant going through the concrete, kind of like breaking through and like trying to reach up to the sun or whatever it is. But expanding consciousness, like, and there's many things like you can read about, okay, well, how do we expand consciousness? And I think what often happens is people get very in their head and about it, and then they try to make it a logical thing as opposed to an experiential kind of wisdom embodiment of what it would be to expand consciousness, rather than really kind of rationalizing the ideas behind expansion of consciousness. So what does it mean to even embody, right, this expansion, or to even experience an expansion of your worldview? Because I would say, I don't know, how do you feel about it? Like in terms of worldview, Pam, do you think consciousness, like, it's part of it, right? Like consciousness is everything, but like, you know, thinking about expanding your worldview or expanding your way of perceiving the world, or even allowing new narratives to come into your mind about how the world works or operates, right? It's just like, it's an interesting thing, and it's not easy for most people to like, to open up, to allow themselves to stretch.
No, I agree. I think for me, the biggest thing that helped was when I started traveling, because like I've said before, you know, I had children really young. And so, you know, I was realistically 16 and 20 and married, you know, at 21. So I was very much in New England, right? Confined to this little corner of the United States, just, you know, maybe traveling 4 hours from one state to another state for like the first 3 decades of my life, though. That was all I knew, was a little bit of city life and then a little bit of country life. So once, you know, I the divorce happened and I was independent to finally make choices and travel on my own, that helped me totally understand different cultural things of different places, just ways of life, just having more empathy and compassion, realizing how blessed I am, even eating the food, which we've had conversations about plenty of times, when you feel how impacted your body is, you know what I mean? How your whole body feels gross or disgusting or really healthy. So that expands your consciousness, at least in my perspective. When you're talking about worldview, I guess that's what the first thing I'm thinking about is all of my travel compared to like my grandmother who never even drove, you know, who never really left the city unless she was riding shotgun with somebody else. But I don't know that she ever got on a plane and went anywhere. So to me, I feel like it's almost a comfort zone or a container where we kind of hold ourselves limited from expanding.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I couldn't even imagine it. Hey, Chuck, how are you? I couldn't even imagine like not being able to, or just being confined to one location your whole life, right? Yeah. I think there's beauty in it too, because it's kind of like, well, you don't know anything beyond it, but then to go to other lands. And I think that's a lot of the narrative that happened even with, you know, if you go back historically, right, they came and they're like, what the hell are these people doing? Or, you know, and rather than like asking themselves like, oh, this is a whole worldview, how can I expand my own understanding of the world through their lens? You know, they're like, they're wrong. They're beast or they're savage or whatever it is, right? And it's like, they're not doing it right. But, and then, oh, the foods, what is this? You know, it's like, But you're absolutely correct. And like traveling does expand consciousness in a huge way, because you start to see how other people live. And you may not like the way that they live, or it may be uncomfortable. Like I'll tell you now, when I lived in India, totally different. You know, it's completely different from the United States. You know, everything is very covert. It's all in your face. You know, they're not hiding anything. They don't hide their trash. They don't hide, you know, and you come here, it's over. Everything's hidden. Everything's like proper clean, you know, very different. And it was funny because even when I was there in India, when they were, because I did it for school, right? And so this guy, Jacob, his name was Jacob. He was so cute. He was kind of our guide. So he was kind of telling us, like, here's how India works in comparison to like the United States, right? And it was totally, yeah, it was funny because he was like, you guys line up properly. Here, lines are suggestions. And it's like, and it's true. It's like, if you want to get food in India, you better put yourself and be assertive and get to the front of the line, or you're never going to eat, right? Traffic, right? Lines are suggestions. So traffic, but it's like organized chaos there in the traffic, right? Just a totally different experience. And it does expand your worldview, because at first I was like, whoa, this is so different, right? It's just like, it's like to even think that people like actually live that way, because you don't know unless you experience it yourself. And then finding the beauty in it, which is cool. And that's where the consciousness expands. Because if there's this block of like, they're doing it wrong, right? Then it's like you're not trying to find the beauty in the experience that they have in life and the way that they're perceiving the world, right? It works for them. How the hell traffic works there is beyond me, but it works. I do not think I could drive out there. I'm pretty sure I would probably crash. There is no room to look at your phone when you're in traffic in India whatsoever. You know,
Same
you don't
thing when
put
it
your hat on.
comes.
The what? Go
No, in
ahead.
Peru, it was the same thing. We talked about that. They have no right of way. And it's just all these like angry, aggressive men on their horns from sun up to sundown. Like, wow.
And you have to use the horn right out there, because it's like, I'm coming. And you better know that I'm coming and I'm not stopping. You can't put your arm out like the rickshaw. You couldn't put your arm out. Like, you know, here in America, you know, we're just putting our arm out the window to feel the wind. I mean, you do that, you won't have an arm. And it's just dropping right off. I mean, it's crazy how close they get, right? You could touch the other car or whatever. It's crazy. And they tell you, keep your arm in, you know, keep your arms and legs in. But it expands your consciousness. And even like you, the food too. I remember when I was leaving, people are like, do you even like Indian food? How are you gonna do with the food? And I'm like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, wow, like the way that they eat, the culture, the way that they see life. You know, cool thing about them that I really loved is like, you know, walking into temples, you have to take your shoes off and wash your feet. You cannot walk in a temple with your shoes on. It's disrespectful. They don't allow it. And so you're taking your shoes off and you're anointing your feet before you walk in. I mean, it's a pretty ritual, right? It's like,
It's
hey,
beautiful.
I'm walking in purified and cleansed before I come into this temple or whatever it is. So just so it does expand your consciousness in a way, because you're starting to say, well, my worldview isn't the only worldview. Our culture, our way of life is not the only way. There's many ways that we see societies kind of rising, and there's beauty and then there's shadow in all of it. You know what I mean? Even America, you know, we have our shadow, you know, and I think people be like, well, we're the best. Well, yes and no, and maybe for some, but there's a lot of shadow here in America as well. You
It's
know,
a
it's there.
delusional kind of pride to a certain extent, realistically.
It's
Like you just look
delusional.
at all, like you said, it's all this shiny polish cleanness on the outside. Meanwhile, everything's just swept under the rug or under the bed with a like, you know, a distraction show going on. So you're looking in the closet.
And then it's like rotting from the inside out in a way. You know what I mean? It's like this rotting from inside, because it's like, well, let me pretend I'm pretty on the outside, and on the inside I'm really like hurting or whatever it is, right? And you can see how the narratives play out in the individuals, right? The people and their way of viewing the world. Which, you know, I always say, I think that was a great way to start it with travel, because I think people who have not traveled outside of their own home, it's really hard for them to, and it's like Plato's cave, right? I love to come back to that narrative of Plato's cave. You can't really know until you actually, you can watch all the YouTube, and but until you're there and experience it yourself, it's a totally different, it's a game changer,
right?
You know, to experience, to be in it, to see it, you know, but, you know, to expand the consciousness of travel is a huge one. The food, like you said, how people travel very differently. Like even in Venice, when I just went to Venice, you know, I knew Venice was like, they had like boats, and I didn't realize that there were no cars at all, and that it was a bunch of islands connected. I didn't know. I didn't do research, you know. It's like, I just went. I'm like, hey, I just want to ride a boat around Venice, and, you know. And I was like, holy crap. Like, that's all these people, like, no. Like, sometimes I'm sure there's people who've never left.
Yeah.
And all they know is riding around. Like, families have a boat for their car. Like, that's how they get around. Because you can't get around. Yeah. So it's totally, I know. Yeah. You would love it there if you water.
Well, it's like that at Machu Picchu too. There's no, you have to take the train from Ollantaytambo all the way up. And, and it was just the bus going from, like, you know, the pickup spot at the bottom of the hill all the way up the mountain to Machu Picchu. That's it. It's like 20-minute bus ride. So it was really cool to spend, I stayed there way too long because it was like 5 days, and they're like, oh, most people do like 2-3 tops. So I totally got that. But so for me, it was like, okay, well, I've seen everything. I've been here. Yeah, you can't walk, you know, there's no driving. You're just walking, and it's really awesome. So then I just started walking in the jungle and just kind of took off and spent a whole day, you know, exploring up in other villages. And it's cool because I remember walking by like the railroad tracks, and they were still digging it. You know, the men were in the little like ditch gully digging it using like hand machine crank things. I don't know, to dig the ditch and to like put down tracks or make repairs. And you don't see that in America at all. So even that, you know, I just kind of stop. And for me, I'm such an observer where I really will just be quiet and not talk, and I just observe and analyze. And it doesn't matter, you know, if I'm at work or if I'm hanging out with friends, like I just naturally find myself going into this observer mode. And I think that, and that's where I find like a lot of self-reflection, a lot of, you know, connecting or resonating, compassion, empathy, whatever. And I feel like that's where I grow too. And expand by just, you know, I think instead of just walking through a scene, right? Instead of just walking through an environment, we really need to feel the environment. I think we really need to like understand, you know, what the energy is that's maybe causing our mood, right? So it's easy to feel peace and joy when we're out in nature, but then in other places, you know, it can be chaotic and overwhelming. So even just tapping into that, you know, and I feel like travel, there's two ways to travel, right? You can have the resort and you can have the perfect vacation if that truly exists. But then there's other ways, right? There's doing some of the tourist stuff, and then there's getting down to the nitty gritty and living like a local. And that's how I prefer. Like I've never been to like a resort, on any beach type stuff like that. Like it's been definitely like, you know, a little bit of tourist stuff, but then in the nitty gritty of it. And I think there's just so much growth when you allow yourself to be vulnerable there. Yeah.
Yeah, there's all inclusives, and that's like a whole thing in itself. But I always feel like it's very that's such an American way to travel too, right? Because it's like, well, I feel like this is a microcosm of actually where I currently live in the United States, right? Where it's like when you get to the outskirts of how the locals live, totally different experience, like you said. I think when I was in Thailand, right, that was like a huge, even in India. But when I went to Thailand, you know, it was funny because we saw there was a lot of tourism there, In Thailand, obviously, especially because we went to the island of Koh Samet, which they have like this chain of islands, Koh Samui, Koh Samek, all these different little islands. And we went where the locals actually go, the island where the locals go.
Mm.
And at the dock, right, where you're like getting onto the boats, you know, they had these tours where they had a bunch of people together who were American. They could have been also European because you have a lot of people that travel, you know, Europeans travel quite a bit. Anyway, they had this like group of people and they have their tour guide or whatever. And us, we were like, nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to like travel like the locals do. And we did, and we rode the boat, and they were trying to charge, I think, like $100 for ferry passage. We're like, nah, we're gonna ride the local way, which was like, I think, $1 or something. Yeah. Like, that is a totally different experience, right? But you're not getting all this like glitz and glamour and all that, you know, taking you to the island where the locals are, and then, you know, staying like the locals stay, you know, maybe a hostel or, yeah, you know, that kind of thing, or even being invited into a home. Sometimes they'll do that. It's very different. The culture is very different out in Asia. But doing that, we're like the locals, and then eating like the locals as well. You know what I mean? Where do the locals go? What are their favorite places? You know, or even being invited into someone's home, which is common out there. Like, we got invited, I think it wasn't in Thailand, but I think it was Nepal. I can't remember exactly where we were. A family was like, come home, my wife will make food for you. And we were kind of like, I don't, you know, for us, it was kind of strange, right? Because like, right, Americans aren't walking around inviting random people into their homes to go eat food, right? Okay, and so we were kind of like, where are they? What's going to happen here? So we're like, okay, that you could tell that energetically they were really good people. And they did. They made food for us. They sat around. They wanted to know about us. It was like, oh, like, this is a whole different world. Like, right, this is like, you know, people that truly want to, they care about the connection to individual people. It's really truly about cultivating connection and community. You know, where they are, they have more of a collective mind than an individual mind, right? Mm-hmm. So they're raised very like sharing food and putting it in the middle of the table, and like everybody just kind of gets food together and they eat together. And, you know, they still have a lot of that traditional stuff going on, but very, very different to travel, you know, like you said, between the two. And I've done other things like Cancun. We stood at this resort. It wasn't an all-inclusive resort. It was more of a, the hotel was like a resort, but it wasn't, it was so far away from the whole glitzy glamour resorts that we were had to bus into the places that were more glitz and glam. But we also did do this tourist stuff where we did, zip lining into, these under cave tunnels, right, where you zip line into the water, and then you can swim into the water where the bats are, and you had somebody guiding you and stuff like that. Wow. It was more of a touristy thing for sure. But the cool thing about this one is that they took us into this underground cave where there was water. You would have loved it, right? Because I know you love water and stuff, but it was like caves and water. And there was a shaman there. He was the shaman of the jungle, and he was pegged the shaman of the jungle. And he did this ritual before, and he said, you know, I'm here to hold the space of this place. And he blessed us before we actually did this journey. So it was kind of like a both and, you know what I mean? Where we got, we got both and stuff, but they wanted the tourists to honor the land too. And not just to like, you know, and I love that because it was like, we're going to embrace the culture. We're going to embrace these tourists, these outsiders, but we're also going to let them know that we have this tradition, and these traditions are, you know, really important to us, and that we care for the land or whatever it is. So it's really beautiful. So I think it's like this land too, I think, as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I experienced something like that with the retreat, I guess. The first, because I went obviously to South America for the ayahuasca retreat and did other things. But yeah, same thing. It was really beautiful, clearing and healing. And they had us do like community service. I'm not a dog person. I've always been just a cat, right? I love cats. But they took us to like a dog, an animal shelter for dogs, because there's just so many. I mean, dogs were loose and wild and just everywhere. And I remember really that kind of, again, hitting my consciousness. Like, wow, there were more loose, wild dogs than some people in some villages. And they had their own like little species, depending, you know, their own breeds or whatever, depending on villages. So you could tell which ones were like leading the packs. I don't know, but people would like hit them because they would just be in the road. And so horrible, horrible, like heartbreaking stories. And so going and doing volunteer work and taking care of, you know, dogs, that brought a connection, you know, in a soft spot. I almost wanted to like adopt and be like, can I bring a dog home on the plane? But, yep. But then it really made me think about like how we are here, you know, and how we really treat animals and our pets. And so, you know, it made me thinking even about like laws and, but then it comes back to that, well, I'm one person and what can I do to make a difference? But I just really remember really being impacted by that, and having like a new soft spot for dogs.
Yeah. And that's part of the expanding consciousness, right? Because it's like, you never thought you would be a dog person. And then all of a sudden you have this newfound, profound connection to this animal or creature that you never had before. Yeah. And then it expands, you know, your worldview or how you, how you experience it. And you're like, wow, now I feel this deep connect. And I was opposite. I think I never really liked cats. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was this expansion. No, seriously, it was like cats.
No, it doesn't surprise me. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm serious. This is the truth. And then, you know, I think in other cultures too, of like really looking at real world problems that are happening beyond our own kind of neighborhood. You know, since we're talking about travel, like I did, some volunteer work at, it was called Snehadan, which was a, they had children who had HIV AIDS. And so it was running rapid within in India that these people who had it on the streets were spreading it and all that. So they, the kids, the parents would die. These kids would grow up with it, not knowing. And then when they would become adults or whatever, they would then spread it, right? Because they didn't know, right? So, so basically they took these kids whose parents were dying and they were teaching them about what it was and stuff. And so we went to their little camp and all that and helped the children, played with them, read to them, you know, all that kind of stuff, which was such a beautiful thing. But to even see that, you know, there's these issues that are happening, you know, beyond our own microcosm sufferings that we have within our own family unit or whatever, that there's this bigger thing that's going on that we don't even realize, right? Or notice. Kind of these hidden things. And so, I mean, there's like these world things that help us to expand the way that we see the world as well. You know what I mean? And reconnecting with, you know, nature as well. Like we did, you know, you're talking about refuge. We went to an elephant refuge. And I was able, it was so cute. I was like washing this baby elephant and it was just playing with us. I know it was cute.
I love a picture
like touching it. Yeah, it was so cute. They were so, you know, such beautiful creatures because nature can teach us, traveling can teach us, connecting with animals can expand. You know, I think about Kung Fu and I think about what the monks were trying to do with Kung Fu in terms of really looking at how to become or be the lion, how to be, they were really trying to embody the essence of, of the animals or of the elements, or which helps us to expand our consciousness as well, because that becomes more of like as above, so below, right? Yeah. And to be able to embody these elements, right? And so there are so many different aspects and ways to expand consciousness, dreams. You know, last night I had a dream. It's funny. Last night I had a dream about snakes.
There was three snakes,
all different breeds. It wasn't the same. One was like this orange yellow one. None of them were venomous and none of them were, they were all just there. One was black, And I can't remember the color of the other one, but there was three of them all together. And, you know, the black one was shorter. The one that was like orange, white, cream color was longer, bigger, had like kind of like that diamond head. You know, the other one was more like the black viper, the mamba, the black mamba head, you know, where it's just kind of rounded. And I can't remember what the other one was. I'm sure it'll come to me eventually, but you know, they were all there. And I was this morning thinking like, why snakes? Why are they show? Why did they show up in my dream? I know I was looking at like reptiles yesterday too, like lizards. So it's probably part of it, right? Is like the imagery or whatever, but these three snakes kind of showed up and not violent. They were just there like on my lap, just with me, which was pretty cool. But to understand how that dream can expand consciousness or live within my own like subconscious mind is telling me something or leading me to look at something else. You know what I mean? Right. So that is another way that our consciousness can expand. You know, it's really looking at our dreams and interpreting and understanding what that might mean for us subconsciously and consciously, and then how to grow from that.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree completely. Doctor.
Go ahead. Sorry. Spiritual doctor. I was just saying hi.
No, that's a good one. No, I agree. I feel like dreams are super important to me. I've had so many beautiful they're just the ones that you can't shake, right? Like you can still years later remember details or emotions or feelings. That's why I created my workshop, the dream interpretation and creative expression. And I went after like our dream specialization with our master's degree. I'm just so drawn and passionate in exploring that. So as you're talking and saying stuff, definitely there's like archetypal symbolism that appears from there that like, right, if you chose to work with it and explore it, I'm sure it would give you, you know, the understanding of the transformation, you know, that you're kind of going through. But absolutely, dreams are so powerful. And I think the biggest thing with that too is people don't recognize that like our food, our diet, like the things that we consume can make it so that we wake up and we're like, I don't have dreams. I don't recall them. You know, a lot of people that I've known personally or that have always been like, I don't dream. And that's not true. I think just sometimes because of all the substances, you know, it impacts our body. So that maybe we wake up and we can't reconnect, but there's definitely ways to work with that. Because I think it's an important picture in the wholeness of our psyche. So you can look at ego and you can look at soul, but I think to ignore the dream realm is to kind of ignore those aspects of yourself as well. Because even though they're crazy and they're weird and they don't make sense sometimes, they are a very important aspect of our consciousness that is like a puzzle. So if we can figure out how to build a relationship to decipher it, I think that's really, really important to grow and evolve.
Yeah, it's the imagery that's closest to our soul, really. Yeah. I know that's what Jung thought too in his work and stuff. And I agree. And even ancient native traditions, right, where he got his work, is like they too were thinking of, you know, remembering needs to be lots of effort, practice and practice. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, with the dream realm, I'm opposite of that. Pam knows this. I have, since I was a kid, remember my dreams every day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't remember my dreams. Now, all of it, not all of it, because I think there are pieces that obviously go away, but I always remember dreams every single morning, you know, the feeling. And I don't know if it's the food or whatever, because I can't say I've had the best thing. But if you're interested, like for those people who are interested in like recalling dreams, some of the practices to help you expand, because it helps expand consciousness. It helps you understand your internal realm and what it might mean in the external. is to do in the morning, a good practice for people is to keep their eyes closed and not just jump up out of bed, because then your brain automatically will transition into another part. It's like the states, right? The alpha, yeah. The theta. I don't know all of them for sure, but I just know that your brain goes out of the state where your dream realm comes from. So keeping your eyes closed and allowing that imagery to naturally occur is a way to do it. And then a dream journal is a good one to help you start to get those dreams back. So some people, everybody does dream. And that's something that I learned in our dream class that I wasn't aware of, because I'm like, why do I remember my dreams every day and nobody else does, like, or not a lot of people. And I thought that I was the only one who was dreaming. And the reality is we all dream. It's just that some people don't have dream recall. Mm-hmm. And so I have a high dream recall where others don't. That doesn't mean you're not dreaming. It right. just means that, yeah. So I think if you're forgetting or you haven't remembered your dreams in a long time, there are ways to actually support yourself through that. And a lot of it is just because I think it's a lot of the hustle bustle. I don't know where the listeners are from. I don't know if you guys are in the U.S. or not. You know, but if you are, a lot of the U.S. is just like, get up and get after it. So like we just like yeah. set alarms and we just jump up. And so there's not that time to reflect and remember.
Right.
And so, yeah, experience the faith transformation through dream. Couldn't believe at first. Yeah. And you will through your dreams. Mm-hmm. Dreams are so powerful because yeah. honestly, it's your soul talking to you. is what it ends up being, right? It's like right. your soul's talking to you. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so in that, you know, when your soul's talking to you, it's trying to get you to see something. I used to have a reoccurring dream, right? Where I didn't graduate high school and I'd wake up and I'd be like, wait, did I graduate? And a lot of it had to do with the fact that I know I wanted to go back and get my undergraduate degree. And I had it at the time. And so it just keep reoccurring. And once I graduated with my undergrad degree, all those dreams stopped.
Huh.
But it was just a calling, right? It was like this yeah. thing. It was like education. It was like, you've got to get your degree for whatever reason. And it was going to fester in my subconscious mind until I did it, right? It was just going to be like, yeah. nope, you're this. Or a common dream for people that I didn't realize either is like the bathroom dream. Like
yeah.
Like having like gross bathroom. Like I have a phobia of gross bathrooms to begin with. Like I just can't. It took me forever to like use a restroom in a public place. And yeah. So anyway, since I was a little girl. And so I was like, duh, 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 that's scary. No porta potties for me ever. I think maybe once in my life I did a porta potty, but I almost nearly puked and died in there. It was gross. I know, but in your dream, and I didn't realize this, a lot of people have that where they'll dream like this disgusting bathroom and it helps to like wake you up so you can go to the restroom. So your subconscious mind is kind of operating at that level. Right. And so yeah. there's stuff that needs to be drawn out, but, it is the closest thing. It's the imagery of your soul, right? Mm-hmm. It's like this realm that is like no one can get into, you know, it's your yeah. own personal like realm, really, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, like no one can see your dreams. I mean, maybe one day they'll create some AI thing that I'm like, please don't look at my dreams. I don't want you to see what I'm dreaming, but
right.
But because that just seems invasive, right? Don't you yeah. think? Like if somebody could see your dreams. Absolutely.
That would be really weird. Uh-huh. I like to share them and talk about them with people, but yeah, I know what you mean. Like the whole concept of like, I don't know if it's like a microchip or something, but like, yeah, being able to like download it and then watch it like that. That's really weird. That's totally.
It feels invasive because it's your world. It's almost yeah. weird. It's like dreams become your own personal realm.
Yeah.
And it feels like it would be invasive to like just come and like, yeah, no, this is my personal like subconscious mind. Leave it alone. Right.
Right. Especially when you set intentions for like to have certain dreams. At least I know I have, you know, when you mm-hmm. lay in bed at night as you're kind of hitting that hypnagogic state. It's like, okay, if I could just fall asleep dreaming about this, that would be wonderful.
I know. The flying dreams. Oh, I love it. It's been a while. Yeah. But awesome. It's weird because it's like levitation and it's like in the real world. I'm like, did this really happen? turning into a believer through dreams. Yeah. Thanks for my friend and well wishes for that. Michelle, what's her name? She used to regularly visit in my dreams. Ah, awesome. Yeah. It's cool too because we can meet the people we love in our dreams, which is pretty powerful as well. Yeah. And then who knows, maybe get some resolve and all the things that might happen within the dream world. Mm-hmm. I think I've had some resolve.
Yep.
Like I could tell you facing my biggest fear, which is, you know, talking about expanding consciousness was because I dream every night and remember, or because I recall my dreams every night. Freddy Krueger was like, you can imagine that was like the worst thing for me to watch. And for whatever reason I was watching, why I was watching it, I don't know. And I had nightmares because of course that's what crept up. And I was so afraid to go to sleep. I was like the people in the movie, literally. Trying to stay awake because I was so afraid that I was going to have a nightmare. And I did. And I did. And I did. And I did. But the resolve that happened, which is pretty cool, it literally wasn't until I was freaking 18 that I would sleep with the light on. I mean, I was afraid to even take a shower. I mean, it was just like, it was like awful. Like this, it really haunted me really badly. Like the fear of this character. I won't even watch it to this day. Cause I'm like, you know what? I've dealt with it. I'm over it.
Yeah.
The sound, the song, all that stuff.
See, that's as far as I ever got. I think I was like 4 or 5. So if I heard, I remember the babysitter or something at one point being at her house and hearing it and just being too afraid. Too sensitive, like still don't like horror movies or anything like that. So
yeah,
definitely.
And to resolve it, but to resolve it, I had to like, honestly, when I was about 18 years old, I literally just was like, all right, I'll just be your girlfriend. Like I didn't know what else to do. I was tired of trying to run and tired of having nightmares. But it's almost like me embracing the darkness or whatever whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's just kiss, which is kind of gross, right? But whatever, it is what it is. That's how I got over it. But there was this acceptance of the shadow side, right? And being like, it deserves love too. So there was an expansion, in consciousness around that dark force or that energy of the predator. Not that I would go out and just be like, yes, I am okay with this, but it was, I had to embrace that side of it or I would have always and forever had nightmares, you know what I mean, around this. And what an awful character for a child who's a dreamer, you know what I mean? It was the worst. It was like, let's see, also reality, so dreams and reality and fate 100% pure consciousness, maybe. Thanks, ladies, for a wonderful show. Also in reality. Dreams and reality unfaded. Yeah.
I definitely have had a few sitting in my car moments at a red light and getting a flashback and trying to discover, okay, did that happen in reality or was that in a dream? Because I really don't know right now. And it was happening more and more often I remember at one point, became unsettling. It was just consciousness, right? It was expanding in all realms that it was blurring lines. And I couldn't distinguish like if it actually happened in a dream or if it happened in my real like physical life, you know, within a day or two or something. So I think for sure the more work you do with the dreams, the lines can become blurred because you're opening up the channel, right? You're saying like, I want this connection. I want this relationship. I'm putting in the effort just like you would in any other type of communicative relationship. So the soul's going to be like, okay, let's start in with those images and, you know, see what you can handle or take from it. I always feel very blessed because I never really suffered from nightmares. I think I've had maybe just a couple as an adult. And I've never had recurring dreams. Like I've never had anything play over and over. So I always find it fascinating when people talk to me about that. You know, this is the recurring scene, and it's like, okay, well, clearly, right, it's some loop, it's some situation you're stuck in. Like, let's explore it. But I love animals. Like, I'll definitely go do like the whole Google search. Boom, boom. What is this message? What is this animal? Because like you're talking about earlier, it's embodying those traits, right? Embodying those characteristics. So sometimes it's not even about relating to the animal, but becoming the animal. So yeah, I think it's just so, that's where I get all excited. And I'm like, ooh, passionate. The conversation can go on and on. But yeah, it's really, really awesome to work with dreams, I think.
Yeah. And I do have reoccurring dreams. So what the, I think I told you about the reoccurring dream is like being in this maze. I don't think that one's going to stop because I think it's the maze of the world.
We've talked about that. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to stop because this world is a big maze to me, right? It's like this big freaking conundrum. I'm just like, I'll never figure it out. We're not supposed to, I guess. But but it's that reoccurring dream of like, you know, each door has a different opportunity or it's a different scenario. Every time I open it, I don't know what I'm going to get. You know, sometimes I'm hiding from things. Sometimes I'm running. Sometimes I'm not. You know, then it's funny. It's like I get outside of the maze or whatever. I find the back door if it's in a building. I mean, it's a mall sometimes. I mean, it's just like these different, sometimes it's a house. You know, it's all these different scenes, but it's the same thing. It's a maze that I'm in and stuck in. And then I get outside the door, but then I'm like, well, I'm just going to go back in. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't go beyond the maze, you know, maybe that's it. I just don't know what's beyond the realm of this world. Right. It's like, I have ideas of what's beyond, you know, I believe in the beyond, you know, and all that stuff, but it's like, do we really know the beyond? We won't really know until we pass beyond, right? Until we're like really outside, until it's our time to go and we're beyond the veil of whatever this is. But it, I think with those reoccurring dreams, right? And it's like, you know, the expansion of it too. It's like, well, you know, what is it? What does it mean? I know recently I've been in like amusement parks for some reason, which is interesting. And water, again, water keeps showing up. You know, water, water, water. I keep ending up at water all the, you know, completely at water, water, water. So what is it telling me in terms of my personal life and what I need to do? I know I have a lot of transition going on, you know, that's why snakes probably showed up too. Transformation, you know what I mean? There's three all different, you know, I was like, I'm transitioning all parts of my life. It's like this snake, none of the snakes looked alike, you know, but there was all, there was three and they were all, and they were there and they all looked different. They all had a different, I'm sure, meaning, right?
Absolutely.
None of them aggressive, but there to remind, probably remind me of like, yeah, you are transitioning. You are in this new phase of life or whatever it is. But dreams can be such a powerful tool for expanding consciousness. But also I think, like you said, the blurred lines, you got to be careful because sometimes we can get into psychosis with some of this stuff and definitely don't want to do that, right? We don't want people out there like dropping into psychosis and not kind of understanding what is real, what's not real. You know, I would say this too, because I think part of expanding consciousness is realizing how to bridge the gap between two, which is what we were talking about earlier, is we are in this sort of three-dimensional time frame where we are playing out this narrative in this body, in this lifetime, on this earth, on this planet. But also we have this ability to tap into these higher truths, spiritual truths. And sometimes people want to stay up there with these spiritual truths and not remember that they're embodied here right now. And that bridging that gap between the two is like so critical because we're expanding consciousness is like, can take you to all these other dimensions and time places and all that. But we have to anchor it in back into the 3D so that we can do the work. Like, what is that energy drawing us into? And what is it asking us to do in this lifetime, on this world, on this plane, you know? You know, I do believe that individuals will transcend this time and space into, who knows, and maybe another body, another in a different realm or a different, who knows, right? Like there's so many infinite possibilities about what happens, but we're being called here And part of that narrative is really, and I know as time has, we should kind of talk about this, really anchoring into your stellar body, and being able to bridge the gap between the macrocosm and the microcosm, which has been really kind of taken from us. They've sort of severed that, or tried to. It's always going to be there, obviously, but it's just being able to understand our own narrative,
right?
Our own origin story, you know, our own stellar body and its evolution and where it's at and what it's trying to teach us about this particular three-dimensional time space. What is it asking us to do here now? And that keeps us anchored so that we're not just kind of floating, because we can either be like floating in the cosmos or we can be so grounded that we are not connected.
Right.
And it's like, where's the harmony that synergizes both, right? This big stellar connection to the macro, but also then narrowing it into the micro, which is like this point in time that we're embodying, this particular point in time that we're embodying, right? We're coming to this point. And it's how do we utilize all of that beauty that's coming from the macrocosm into the micro? How do we tap into that, right? To expand our consciousness, right? And sometimes it can be too much. Like I'll tell you, like I've told Pam, and even she knows, like sometimes it just comes flooding in and it's almost like, whoa, like this tiny body here on this planet cannot handle all of that energy that's being circulated right now.
Because if you don't have the right support system or outlet, right, to integrate and to analyze, it is a lot. Because I feel crazy just telling it to you, and I know you totally understand. but it sounds like I'm on a plant medicine journey, realistically, right? Like I'm on a shroom or an ayahuasca journey, and I'm getting all of this ancient remembering, because that's truly what it is. You know, and can call it downloads or whatnot, but it's all that ancient remembering, that consciousness is like, you know, like, oh, here, you can remember this now. But yeah, it can be. And I'm grateful, because for me, like I have had to learn, how to be connected. And this is like what we've talked about with birth charts and looking at the elemental placement in your birth chart. I'm a Pisces sun. So I always related to just the Pisces sun, right? Because in our culture, that's in the horoscope page for entertainment. And that's as far as it goes. But really diving deeper into astrology and seeing my other placements and recognizing other things, I'm dominated by fire and I have no earth. So part of my huge life lesson was to learn how to be grounded, to learn how to use the element of earth, as, you know, a healing, embodying, whatever vessel that it's been for me. So that massively impacted, you know, my consciousness of my whole human journey. Because like we were talking about that dreamer, right? Like as a Pisces, you're automatically like wired to be creative in your mind and to want to escape, right? Harsh, dark energies come around and we just want to escape into our fantasy land. So to anchor and to realize what was, you know, illusion or self-made delusion, you know, all things that I had to be really, truly honest with myself about while understanding, okay, this is what the element of fire and water really looks like. And now I have to embrace like this lack of air and this lack of earth. So that makes a huge, profound, I think, impact on that human aspect, because then I'm getting this ancient remembering, like you said, you know, like I want to stay there. It kind of just feels so good that it's hard to anchor back into the earth, especially when being a human can be so painful. So it's like you're looking for that escapism into the spiritual. So finding that balance and finding like, okay, I have to be human, but I can be spiritual, has been a profound part of my journey. And I'm grateful that you you help me find more puzzle pieces realistically. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think like I kind of did that for you because mm-hmm. you were seeing things in fresh eyes based on mm-hmm. just, you know, since our twin flame kind of connection and what's mm-hmm. come from that. Yeah. So it's beautiful, like to see how much you can evolve just with another person being mm-hmm. like your puzzle piece.
Yeah, and accepting that, right? And letting that come in too, because I think what happens often with individuals, and I always tell this to my listeners, like you got to be very careful about who you follow, because this work can get, ego can get in the way very quickly for individuals, right? Even the spiritual ones, even the ones who are the most spiritual and all this stuff, right? Is that ego is such a huge thing. And sometimes when you see someone kind of sitting on their ivory tower saying, I have the only truth. Yeah. I run completely mm-hmm. the opposite direction. For me, spiritual evolution is a consistent thing in this particular dimension. Nobody's going to hold the ultimate truth because we're too tiny. There are some ultimate truths. I will say that radiate throughout this, like, you know, harmony and love and the balance of dualities and stuff like that. So there are some universal laws, I think, that play out here
right.
in truth. But to be the holder of truth in perception is not necessarily true because we all see it differently. Okay. We all have this unique blueprint. And I say that if a spiritual guidance or an advisor is telling you how they see it and that's your truth, you know, run the other direction. Really what they should be doing is guiding you to your internal truth and how that's going to play out to serve humanity, how mm-hmm. you're going to use your gifts to evolve humanity, how you'll use your gifts to support and help, and not from a I have it all, but from a learning, like a co-learning together. And I yeah. think that's the power of what we have, right? It's like, it is that we're constantly evolving together, like getting around people who help you evolve and together. And they're not just saying, oh no, I didn't evolve because of you. It's because it's like, no, like we're doing it together. I have some profound insights to parts of me that were untapped because of Pam, right? And Pam has the same thing going on with her. And we're just like, whoa. And it's just like this constant evolution and expansion. And that's how your spiritual advisors and people should be around. It should be this constant mm-hmm. evolution and expansion. Not a I'm above you or this or that, or, you know, if you do, and that's fine. I'm not saying that people can't do that. Obviously it's their life, but I would say I run the opposite direction when people are like, and I'm like, no, you know, there is not a hierarchical thing here. Mm-hmm. It's a constant expansion and growth potential. When you put it into the hierarchical kind of thing, you're kind of recreating a three-dimensional time space for yourself, and that becomes time loops, you know. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. We do need structure, right? But what does the structure look like that's conducive to all spiritual beings that are trying to evolve? Mm-hmm. And a hierarchy is not necessarily, that's not going to be conducive to consciousness expansion. You know, it's right. going to put you in a box, or it's going to hinder your progression to evolve. So I think with with you, like you're saying that there was puzzle pieces, but you have puzzle pieces that are going to help me grow. And that's right. the same for anybody like in my space at this point. I'm like, how do we evolve together? You know, right. that there's not this struggle of like, who's got it right, who's got it wrong. Well, we all have our own unique way. You know, even with you, like, a spiritual doctor, you have your own unique way, your own unique fingerprint, and ways that you're working with your spiritual expansion and consciousness. And that's the same for all the listeners, right, that get on here. It's, we all have this ability to expand, and we all are not seeing it in different ways. It's too vast. There's too much in our imaginal world, in the archetypal, in the dream, in the, you know, down to like the earth consciousness, down to the planetary consciousness, to the micro, macro, all of that is way too much for one individual to say, like, I have all the truth. Like, yeah. okay, no, there's just absolutely no way that's possible, right? It's like, I like it. It's like you get, I can't remember the parable, but I know it, I think it's a Buddhism parable, if I'm correct, where they have these monks who are blindfolded and they're touching a part of the elephant and they're saying like, yeah, where it's like, I absolutely like they're describing what they're feeling and they think they hold the ultimate truth, but each one is touching a different part of the elephant. And so there's no way like that they have the whole picture. They just have what's in front of them. So they kind of would need each other to work to kind of understand the full picture. And they may not be able to understand the full picture, but they can get close to a picture that makes sense to move forward, to expand, to co-create, right? That and that's what we do. We all have our own unique spiritual gifts, and that should be honored, I think, within each individual. I think sometimes gurus or whatever, it's like, oh, it's all about their spiritual gifts and what they can bring. But really, I think if it's a true spiritual guide, they're going to help you find your own spiritual gifts. We all have them. Everybody does. We just, some of us are just a little bit more, maybe the waters are a little bit more murky than others, and they can't see the clear waters of their true spiritual essence. And so they need to kind of clean out that stuff so that they can see clearly what they're here to do, what their spiritual gifts are. And that's really what a spirit guide should be doing for people. But and then I know I just kind of went off, but that's because, that's the same thing. It's like you're absolutely correct. And like there was a lot of things that we worked through, even individually, like me being resistant to stuff like, hey, let me figure it out. But also then let me hear what you have to say. Let me at least open my heart to hear what it is you're seeing that might resonate with me, right? Because we still have those blocks. Like I still have them too, right? Like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is like way too much for me at this point. Let me figure out what I know for myself. And then figuring out the pieces and going, okay, I'm ready to receive the information. Like maybe I'm not even ready at this point to receive the information, right? And then when I am, and then I start to see it and say, okay, now I'm ready to kind of open up to see this new part of myself that I couldn't. And then how does it connect into these pieces of myself, like anchoring back into love, as a way of motivation or receiving healthy masculine energy into my life, into my heart, not closing off to that, and being able to see that or realizing that I came in with this ancient knowing and remembrance because I took on an entire intelligence, right? Like a planet intelligence or whatever it is, that lives inside of me. Like those things are like, whoa, yeah, okay, that makes sense, right? That's a narrative that resonates with me. But not getting into the psychosis of it too. So there's that both end, right? Where you expand consciousness, but don't drop into psychosis as well. Remember, you're here. You're here in a three-dimensional time space. What does that mean for me? And it would sound psychotic to some people that my planet was destroyed, that I embodied maybe all of that planet's intelligence. That makes sense. I come here, and I'm trying to support individuals to recognize the intelligence of this planet and to nurture that and love it and remember it. So that narrative makes sense to me. Whether it's true, like I was telling Lala, like I really like how you said that was true or not, that it's helping, but not also not being so caught up in that narrative as well. It's just how can I help humanity today? That narrative helps me. It does. Just thinking about if I'm able to record song in such beautiful voices. What do you mean record a song? Tell me what you mean by that. I'm not, yeah, if you just tell me what you mean by that, I'm not sure what you mean by that, but
Yeah, must have been something you said that definitely resonated, so.
yeah, I mean if you have something that you're wanting to do, we always accept gifts, right? If spiritual, loving, loving gifts from individuals. I don't know what you mean by song, but if you want to send us a song, you can definitely inbox us, right, on our first of all, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and then you can also reach out to us by email. And we have all that. So at Women of Consciousness, if you look us up, go like us on Instagram, on Facebook as well. And then if you want to send something to us on an inbox, you can do that. Or if you want to send it through email, womenofconsciousness@gmail.com. So you're more than welcome to do that as well. But yeah, I think, and thank you for sticking around, Spiritual Doctor. You know, I think working together is the biggest thing for Pam and I, is really co-creating, co-collaborating, you know, recognizing the beauty in all the spiritual communities, all the people who are doing the work, really, truly doing the work, right? It's about us just honoring that in each other. Yeah. You know, I think the ego gets that competition thing going, and that's so ego, right? It's just, ego is just tricky. It's a tricky one. It creeps up when we don't least expect it. We're just like, damn, that was totally all ego. I got to revamp this or whatever. But I'm truly calling forth. I think that's what Pam and I are truly calling forth, these individuals who are working to heal their trauma and suffering and really step in as spiritual guides, you know, to help raise the expand consciousness, raise consciousness, so that we can start to co-collaborate together and learn to communicate as servants of this, stewards of the planet. You know what I mean? It's just, I just don't understand how we're not there, but it's okay.
It does seem to be taking quite a while to get there.
So I was like, oh, humans, how do we get to this point over and over? It's just a lot. It's a lot for some people, I guess. You know what I mean? That heavy, dense energy just takes over them, you know? And apparently the psyche of that human mind is just sometimes really, the battle's hard for people to fight or to move through.
Yeah.
But there are people doing the work, and you know, just want to honor those who are really committed to doing the work. Mm-hmm. Doing the best that they can. Hopefully we gave you some tools on this. You know, we talked about travel, we talked about dreams, and how that can support us. You know, we talked about the following people, or how working with individuals helps us expand consciousness. I mean, there's so many ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think, you know, with that, so, but it's coming up an hour, so we better get going. so much more we can discuss on this particular topic, but, follow us on Instagram or Facebook. Also go to our website, womenofconsciousness.com. We do provide services as well. We are, currently working on, you know, Pam does some, I do as well, but we're doing some Oracle tarot readings as well. If you are interested in any of that, go to our website. You can book an appointment with Pam. And then also we do coaching and all that kind of stuff. So you can set up a discovery call if you want to. We do a discovery call really to make sure it's a right fit for both, before we just like, hey, you know, want to make sure that the individual's ready, prepared, and willing to move through the process. And then also for the podcast as well, you don't have to donate, but we do have an option to donate. And part of that is just so that we can start to build community. We're really looking to build community for individuals, and that's, you kind of can go on the website, see what that's about. So there's that option as well. But just stay in contact. We're always giving out, you know, tons of free information and all that kind of stuff as well. At the end is, we really want to support individuals to move forward. With that, do you have anything else to add?
No, I would say, I think like a lot of expanding consciousness really can, a good starting point too is like healing, just looking at, you know, things that trigger you in your day-to-day life, rather than reacting or lashing out, you know what I mean? Sitting in stillness and really thinking you know, through or feeling through the thoughts and the feelings and reflecting on them. Cause we, like you said earlier, we go the minute the alarm goes off, we have to like hit the floor running. And we tend to do that with our communication and our relationships. So rather than, you know, working through maybe a wave of energy that, you know, maybe unpleasant, we act out and we lash out at people. And, I think maybe if we just sat with that and looked at ourselves and really looked at our healing, that's a good way to start expanding your consciousness. And like you said, you know, the people that are really doing the work, we've been lucky enough to align with them professionally or personally. And that's just where I am choosing to shift my focus so that I can continue to align with that energy. So that we can do the work and help others. Yes, absolutely. So I just pray. I pray and I hope for people out there to just, you know, work through their triggers without hurting others and, you know, to find healing, because we, at the end of the day, only we can heal ourselves. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. All right. Well, you guys have a fantastic day. We look forward to hearing from you.
Yes.
And thank you, Spiritual Doctor, for being presential and engaging. That's always important. We have people engage. Have a great day. We love you. And we will be on here next Tuesday. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.